Welcome to the Striving Together podcast, a podcast for the Imago Dei Church family to help us follow Jesus together in the grace of his gospel. My name is Shane Shaddix, and I have the privilege of serving as the discipleship pastor at IDC. I am joined by the one and only Donnie Hollis, worship pastor.
Donnie Hollis.
Yes. Welcome. Welcome to my studio.
I'm actually not the one and only. I am the second.
It's true.
I'm named after my dad.
Are you an actual second or are you junior?
I'm there was already a junior in our family,
okay.
So I'm the second.
Nice.
So Donald Gary Hollis, the second.
He actually loves it when you call him Gary.
I do. Yeah. My dad goes by Don my whole life. Everybody calls me Donnie until a couple years ago. Now people start to call me Don, which
really?
Is...
Do you like that? Do you like growing up?
Did I like growing up?
No, like now
I did
that,
enjoy growing
now that
up.
You're now that you're a real boy, do you lean into having an adult name? No offense to all those people who have IE at the end of their name.
Of their name. I really don't care.
Okay, yeah. That's good.
Don does seem to be more adult.
Adult,
but
that's true.
I'm Donnie in my heart.
And in mine, sir. That's good. All right. Well, we are today asking this question.
At the end of a work day.
I don't know if you can tell. We are going to ask this question of just corporate worship. What are we doing in corporate worship? So, Donnie, you've heard me say before something that I've kind of tried to reiterate in my own heart and then for folks in membership class and in other contexts, that for corporate worship, our gathering together on Sundays is not primarily a service to me, but it is an action. This is bad grammar, but an action of me. It is something we are doing rather than something we are attending or watching or that kind of thing. And we'll circle back around and talk about how it's not that there's no sense in which something is for us, but that's not really what's going on. We are first and foremost actors on Sunday morning. And so I want to talk about that a little bit. With you, especially from your role as a corporate worship leader in the musical realm and pastorally, also as a pastor of this church. Let's start with the highest level kind of version of this question. I'm just like, why do we gather for worship? Let's start there.
Before we begin there.
You're changing my questions on
well,
me.
Well, you quoted yourself to start,
this.
A wise man once said...
it was.
I just wanted to point that out. I didn't want it to
I
go
knew
too
a man
far.
Who went to the third heaven. This is good. This is prime content here.
So sorry, I didn't listen to anything you said after that. The question is, why are we coming?
Why do we gather for worship? Let's just start there.
We gather together for worship. I've been saying it several times over the past several months as a call to worship. There's a lot of things that you could say. What I've been telling us has been the Lord invites us. So I think that's kind of thing number one. It's not something we've come up with. It's just the Lord's idea for us to worship him. We gather together because the Lord invites us. He invites us to hear his word, to receive the gospel of his son, and to be joined to him and to his people. Mm. So it's something that we are... we're invited to do. It's something that we get to do with each other, and there are certain things that we rally around.
Yeah,
it's a kind of a quick way to say that. But we gather to as our it's reasonable. We've been saved from our sins by our God, who's ransomed us, bought us. Our life is not our own, and so we come to the Lord to give him thanks.
Yeah.
in a regular, repeated way.
Yeah. It's amazing, too, or helpful, at least when you look through the kind of the stretch of scripture is God has always, this has always been an aspect of God's people,
right.
Is part of what we do as God's people is you gather together to praise him, to receive from him, to be forgiven, that kind of thing, but also, to respond and to praise him. So in the Old Testament, people of Israel were to gather together, and there were choir masters, and the scriptures were read, and there were sacrifices and all that kind of stuff. So they gathered together, and then obviously in the New Testament we see a lot of gathering together of the saints. But I think it's important to look at eternity future too. What are God's people going to be doing for eternity? I mean, gathering together to worship him, and there's more to, I think, eternity than that. But there's not less than that. Mm-hmm. There will be a gathering around together. So, zooming in a little bit. What are we trying to accomplish? Let's start. I want to think about it on two levels, corporately and then individually. So what are we trying to do when we gather together worship? And that might be some version of what we just talked about. And then in a second, I want us to come back around and say, put yourself in the shoe of an individual Christian. What should I be trying to accomplish?
Mm-hmm. When you say, what are we trying to do?
What are we wanting to happen on a Sunday morning when we gather together?
So I think the greatest expression of the worship of our triune God is the exaltation of the Lord Jesus and what God has done in saving us from our sin in Christ. So what we're gathering to do is to lift up his name, to declare his goodness, his glory, his life, his death, his resurrection. He's victorious over sin and death, and basically saying, you know, what God has done, we full-heartedly agree, we not just assent to it with our minds, but enjoy it with our hearts. And we get to do that, you know, together alongside our family, because he didn't just save us individually. He saved us as part of a larger group. So that larger group coming together is rallying around that one God and worshiping him, and the worship of him being centered on what the atonement of Christ has done for us. So it's, there's a lot more you can say there about the corporate, individually. I think, what does it look like? It's coming, it's being joined to that group. Okay. It's being numbered in that group, to see yourself, to identify with the Lord Jesus and his people. And so it's not a time where I come and it is a time where I come and get refreshed. It is a time where I come and learn. It is a time where I come and get to enjoy. But those are all kind of downstream, at least from my perspective, are downstream. They're fringe benefits. They're not the primary thing that we're going after.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think one of the songs we sing, you know, ascribing to the Lord the glory due his name. That's just like this is what we do in response to the gospel that we received, is we see God as glorious, as exalted, as worthy, and then we're in right relationship with him. So we get to exalt and proclaim and declare that together. On the individual side, there's the what we're trying to do in the kind of, I guess, what you might call the vertical component of praising the Lord. And so what should I be trying to do when I gather for worship? Well, I need to be with and among those who are praising God. And so there's just the question of my own heart of worship. But what about the horizontal component? What about that communal aspect? What should I be trying to do communally when I gather for worship?
I'm lost the passage that comes to my mind when you say that, but when I think about relating to one another, everything needs to be done for the sake of building up, right? And so we want to have each other in mind when we encourage, because as we sing, as we worship, because there's something about our act of worshiping the Lord that is encouraging to others. It's instructive to others. It reminds them of, if they come in, if they're there and they're, for whatever reason, you know, not quote unquote ready to serve the Lord in that way, we get to say, no, come on. Right. So even the idea of, you can correct me on this if I'm wrong. I taught it to my children though. So it's ingrained in the Hollis line somewhere, but even the word hallelujah. Is a corporate word that the Yah on the end being, you know, the Lord Yahweh, and the hallelujah is a corporate sense of hey you worship the Lord.
It's not just
something we say when we individually feel some emotional thing. It's almost like a command. You know, we're to speak to ourselves, but we call each other to worship the Lord,
and
even it baked into that word is that idea.
That's good.
Of hey, come along with me.
Yeah.
You know, let's do this. This is right and good.
And so many of the Psalms, they are directed at our brothers and sisters to say, hey, let's do this thing together. So there's this, and going back to the shape of the gospel itself, the Lord is saving for himself a people. I am a part of that people, but I can't be that people by myself.
Right.
And so I need to, like, let's go, let's be his people, and let's worship him as he is due and that kind of thing. And so it's an appropriate thing for us to, the Lord is still the central figure. We're still oriented towards him, but it's like we can kind of turn halfway towards our brothers and sisters and say, come on, let's do this. And then receive that same thing from them that helps direct my gaze to the Lord as well.
I think the thing that's interesting about that is, it's not that let's be this thing. It's you are this thing, right? So it's reminding each other, this is reality.
Yeah.
You've been lied to all week, by all kinds of things. And this is who you are now.
Yeah. That's good. Okay. We were talking about this earlier. The language of a worship service. Mm-hmm. It could just be me. I don't think it's just me, but I immediately when I'm thinking about service, in that context, I'm primarily thinking I'm the one being served, right? Mm-hmm. I'm attending. Mm-hmm. We even talk about that. I'm attending a worship service. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't want to get really dogmatic about my language here, but this is, I try to force myself to talk about we gather for worship rather than attending a worship service, because one puts me in a mindset of I am there as an observer, mm-hmm. as a watcher, as a receiver on some level. And if I can turn it into this kind of active sense of like, no, I'm doing a thing, but we do receive mm-hmm. in the worship gathering. Mm-hmm. We are recipients. What do you think I should be looking to get in that time? What should maybe the first question is, should I be looking to get? And if so, what would that be that I'm getting?
This is not going to be a good answer to the question. What you should be looking to get is an opportunity to give.
Right? I love it.
Because that's not, we're not there primarily to get. Mm. We're there primarily to give. And we're there to worship, to serve the Lord. It's His service. Mm. We're there gathering to serve Him.
Yeah.
And so that would be primary. Secondary is then to serve His people. Mm. And then after that would be what do I receive? And I think those benefits are downstream of those prior commitments. Mm. You worship the Lord and find that is what you were made for. Mm. So your soul comes alive. You're encouraged. You're built up in your joy and mm. your hope, and your even your love, because you're being joined to in a corporate sense the people who are worshiping the Lord in that time, and then with the people, it's better to give than to receive. There's something about encouraging a brother or sister in the Lord that then you go home and you think like, man, that was well worth my time. I mean, I think about that in even in a growth group setting, right, where you have to kind of get,
geared up,
like, oh man, here we go again, another, I don't know, I'm tired, I don't want to necessarily go, and it seems like those are the times you come back and like, boy, I'm glad I went, because there was a service component to it. There was a sacrificial nature to what you were doing, and we were made to give of ourselves in that kind of way. And there's just something about how God, I think, designed us where when we give, we get filled up in a different way.
Yeah, that's good. That's good.
I didn't really answer your question.
No, I think so. I think it's helpful to recognize that a lot of what we get is actually going to be a consequence of us engaging in this thing of being the actors that we're talking about. And I don't think that means we can say, we should not have come with expectation. I think we do, but our primary expectation is love our brothers and sisters, sing praises to the Lord, like exalt Him, worship Him. And then you could look at something, Acts 2, where the saints gather together around the Lord's Supper, but also the apostles' doctrine. I think we can come with some expectation of receiving the scriptures and the doctrine from one another, but also from the word as it is preached, even receiving kind of reminders of the gospel, that kind of thing. So there is some sense of which the thing we're gathering around, as we're gathering around it, is giving to us. Yeah, we're getting from that.
Because we're not serving Baal
or
Moloch.
Yeah, that's right.
We're serving the living God. Yeah. So it makes sense that we would, it's not just doing a duty.
Yeah. That's so good. And that will inspire joy and affection.
Yeah.
What encouragement would you give to the person who they come on a Sunday morning and they are, they're tapped out, mm-hmm. right? I guess my concern is, how do we avoid even talking like this being a burden placed on a downtrodden, struggling believer that for them, like, just showing up is like, that's the work. Like, they sure. did, what encouragements to make sure that we're not, like, you know, putting a heavy yoke upon them in
there. Yeah, no, I don't think, I mean, it's the same kind of exerted energy you'd have to divert from trying to stay afloat to reach out for the life raft, you know, like, I mean, yes, it will require something, but it's actually really helpful for you in the short term and long term. So for me, I don't know that I'm necessarily the model to follow, but for me, I'm not going to say anything necessarily new here, but, Sunday begins on Saturday, you know, for me. So, I try to go to bed, early. I try to not do anything that would make me, which I've got to get up early on Sunday morning. Sure. But I want to make sure that I've got, not only am I going to be up, but I've got time, that I get to spend with the Lord before I leave my house, you know, where I can get my heart right, my sins confessed, my joy being found in Christ. And then, you know, along with that, getting my thoughts ready for the service and for the day. So then I come and then I get to be with the saints for, you know, we get here at 7, the service starts at 9. So I've got 2 hours of being with the saints before anybody gets here, and we're running songs and things like that, but we're
still rehearsing. Brothers and sisters,
yeah. We're still with brothers and sisters. We're still rehearsing these truths. We're still being built up and encouraged. And so by the time, so 9 o'clock, whenever the first service starts, that's not where it starts for me. You know, it started before, and I think you could look at that as something that's burdensome. At the same time, you don't just show up to work unprepared. Yeah. You know, like, you talk about coming to a worship service not to just receive, but to give. And you don't go to your job and just to receive, but to give to work. You know, there's something to do, and you don't just roll out of bed and go. You get up, you brush your teeth, everything else. You get ready for.
Yeah.
And so, I think this is no different. And again, I think there's something about the preparatory nature of getting ready to gather with the people, that you even pick up in the Psalms, all throughout the Psalms. You know, like, what was the Psalm? Psalm 42. He's remembering how I would go with the throng and lead them in procession to the household of God. Uh-huh. Like, he's cast down because he can't do that where he's at. Yeah, there's just something. There's something about, obviously, what's happening when we worship, but even in the journey to it.
Yeah,
you know, like
good.
the Psalms of Ascent. It's getting your mind right on the way there.
That's good.
So I think in the goodness of God, while we sing praises to God, there's a way, you know, in the first 20, 30 minutes for that to, you know, happen.
Sure.
Sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't, but it can happen more quickly if you haven't prepared. But I think if you have prepared even somewhat, you can hit the ground running and really have a lot of benefit from your time with the saints in the worship of the Lord. Yeah. I've got there's a brother at our body, Isaac Rosa, and he and his wife Alyssa, what they do together is they, throughout the week, they look at the text that's coming up, and that's kind of the thing that they do for their time, is they read the text together, like the same text, you know, every day, leading up to it. And I think that's another way, you know, like, to just, when it's orienting your life around the worship of the Lord.
Yeah.
And of course the worship of the Lord is something that happens more than the distinct moment on Sunday. But
there is something distinct about it.
But there is something distinct about it. Yeah. There is something special about us coming together. And you know, like, as that becomes the regular part of your life, as anything, it can become rote. It can become routine.
Sure.
And we have to be careful to make sure that those disciplines, which I think corporate worship is a discipline.
Sure.
Coming to sit under the public ministry of the word is a discipline. You got to be careful to make sure that those disciplines don't morph into like a legalism. They don't morph into a burden.
Dead ritual.
Yeah, any kind of ritual or anything like that. But just because it can do that, just because that's a danger, it doesn't mean that's something that you should avoid.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, that's good. Yeah, I appreciate you you talk about the kind of the various preparation things. For me, it's often just the drive in where I'm asking that question. What am I trying to do right here? Trying to ask that question. And it usually is in these two directions that we're talking about is on the one hand, what am I trying to do kind of towards the people that we're with, that I'm about to gather with? And that's, you know, we've talked about this. That's a big one for me because I'm naturally recoil, pull back from a crowd, don't press in. And so loving the saints and being a part of the body is an act of warfare. Sounds too aggressive and strong, but it is an act of volition. It's willful. It's a decision that has to be made. Hopefully an act of worship.
Act of worship.
Yeah. And then similarly, all the stuff going on in life. All right, what am I trying to do towards my brother and sister? What am I trying to do towards the Lord?
Absolutely.
And that inevitably, kind of to your point, we can worship the Lord all the time. I want to have a heart of worship in every aspect of life. Okay, then what am I doing on Sunday morning? Mm. Why am I gathering for worship? And there's a sense of which I'm gathering with people to do something that I actually can't do throughout the week by myself. There's something that happens here, which means, okay, is my heart towards the brothers and sisters in a certain way? And then also is my heart towards the Lord ready to do something with the us of the gathered community? And often that takes a little work. And then on the sense of the brother or sister that you know stumbles in is just like, I'm here, you know. Mm-hmm. It's receiving the exhortation and the fellowship and the you know it's the other brothers and sisters turning towards you and saying, gaze on him, look at this gospel, and letting that be the thing that I do receive, but I also participate in there. I'm hearing and receiving and letting that draw my eyes up to the Lord. And that is worshipful. That is helps my heart grow and to love the Lord and in a way that I could not do just me in a closet somewhere.
Right.
So something.
Yeah. I think you touch on that. Well, like there are different levels of participation even in our own heart when we're there. And that you can climb those levels, quickly.
Yeah.
If you're looking for them,
yeah.
You know, ready to climb. And the other thing I would say, as you were talking, made me think of just how valuable the gathering is. You know, you never know how sweet something is till you lose it. And we're not too far away from COVID to remember how we longed to go to be with the saints, to worship the Lord, and how I mean the things that we did I think were good, you know, like live streaming a sermon, and there was a sense in which we were kind of rallied together even though we couldn't be together because of the circumstance, but it just wasn't enough. I mean
it's an approximation,
like substitutes, not even the right word. It was something to do that we hoped it would be helpful, and it was think it was, but it also shows it just there's really nothing that can take the place of actually being
with the saints. That's so true. That's so true. That's good, man. That's super encouraging. All right. Anything else along this line that you would want to exhort the brothers and sisters here at IDC on this question of what are we doing when we gather for worship? Anything else that just pastorally things that you see from the stage that you would exhort us with?
That's a great question. I mean, I think we've got a wonderful church that for the most part, by and large, people come and they want to worship. So I'm not having to
corrective.
I don't feel like I've got to do any kind of corrective or anything like that. Even the ones who come in, let's say barely get there, they still like have the sense of like, I want to be here. Mm-hmm. Like this is where I know I belong here. I would say the thing that I'm working on just for my own self is, and I'd love for our body to grow in as well, is to raise the ceiling of our emotional expression when we get in, when we're together, just because as I read the Bible, there's more that's listed in a descriptive way than I would describe our gathering as when it comes to shouting and clapping and, you know, loud, you know, singing and clashing cymbals and, you know, loud clanging cymbals and
dancing
around. Yeah, so there's a we've got a I think it's okay to have a button to press that says like, oh, that, you know, that's too far.
Yeah, yeah.
I just think we press that button way too fast.
Just a little too soon.
You know, like,
yeah,
anything that's like, you know, out of the ordinary, yeah, we're real quick to be uncomfortable and, yeah, hit it.
That's so good. I was talking with somebody the other day about how I too wrestle with that the biblical expressions of worship, yeah, that are like, they are good. They're, we are exhorted, that there's something defective in my makeup. Like I am, and to where like, if I try to raise my hands, I'm immediately like, everyone is looking, and like everything we, yeah, talk about as far as praising the Lord and trying to encourage, it's now everything is about me in, mm-hmm, that moment in my heart. And so I'm like, I don't know how to do this in a way that actually accomplishes what it's supposed to do.
Sure.
And so I try to do other things that I can do naturally without turning my heart inward a little
good
bit to try to approximate this, that what you're trying to talk about. But and then sometimes I try and you just make fun of me from the stage about how I can't clap.
Yeah, it's true. I think anytime you do anything new, it's going to be, sure, weird, it's going to be awkward, it's going to be uncomfortable. And I think the more times you,
yeah,
you know, if you're the kind of person who says I'm not going to venture into that,
yeah,
you know, I think that's fine. I think that's even why I'm saying I want to raise the ceiling of what's normal or what's
not necessarily the floor.
Not necessarily the floor
that's
of
good.
It. You know, I don't think it's wrong to sit reverently,
yeah,
and be still before the Lord. Like that is also a biblically faithful way to receive the truth of who God is. But I would encourage if you've got in yourself a sense that says, Maybe there's some more here.
Mm.
See if there is.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know that. I don't know that that's the devil,
sure,
trying to get you to take attention from what's going on and place it on yourself. I don't know that it, you know, especially for you, that it would be your flesh saying like, all right, now's my time to shine, you know? So for you, that might be the promptings, yeah, of the Spirit to say, yeah, you know, worship the Lord, your God freely.
Is this a good time to ask for a solo?
For you?
Yeah.
Any time is a good time for a solo.
That's good.
For you. So
yeah,
anytime I see you coming up, you just come, I will step aside from my microphone.
You will assume the Lord has prompted me.
I will.
That's good.
I will, absolutely.
This is quite the blank check that you've just given me. No, that's good. And going back to the expressions or whatever, I think connects with what we've been talking about. One of the governors on those expressions is going to be the saints. It's,
yeah,
going to be what is helpful.
Absolutely.
There's a way to turn those expressions of corporate worship turn them into something that can be selfish.
Yes.
And so if they are with disregard for the brothers and sisters and what's helpful, what's useful for building up, then we're distracting from what this
That's
thing
really good.
Is. But we should not assume any expression, mm-hmm, is that necessarily self-oriented or distracting. It actually can serve to be very exhortative to other brothers and sisters, mm-hmm, as we worship. When I see brothers and sisters who are praising the Lord, that draws my heart and my soul,
mm-hmm,
as well. So
that's good.
Cool. Well, thanks for taking the time, man.
Yeah.
Thank you, IDC, for listening in. Hope this has been encouraging. And we will join you next time with something else that hopefully is helpful and encouraging to you as you follow Jesus and as we follow Jesus together.